Hey, I haven't met you yet. I'm Brian, one of the pastors here. It is great to see you here in person. Thanks for braving it. Thanks again for all of you joining us online as well. We are in the second week of this season we call Advent, this time in the church calendar when we reflect on this miracle of Jesus's birth and all that that means for us. Jesus' birth was more than a heartwarming symbol. It was actually the first wave of God's plan to redeem and restore all of creation. God's goal in sending Jesus was to make everything brand new, including you and me. And that's the theme that we're focusing on this Advent here at the Vineyard. Last weekend, Michael kicked off our series by talking about hope made new. And this morning, what we want to do is look at this theme that peace is being made brand new. Peace is a word that you see and hear a lot this time of year. Christmas time, it shows up in Christmas songs and movies. It's right at the heart of the Christmas story. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, this is what the prophet Isaiah wrote, anticipating the coming of this Messiah. Isaiah 9 says, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And upon Jesus' birth, the heavens opened and the angels sang out and they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace, earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." We see that in Luke 2. So for us, peace is something that we long for, something that we desperately need more of. How can that peace be made new in Jesus? First, let's consider this, our search for peace, our search for peace. If we're honest, oftentimes our search for peace is tied to our circumstances. We can buy into the notion that if just these circumstances of my life can get in the right spot, then I can experience peace in my life. You know, college students, if my grades can just get in the right spot, all of us, if our finance can just get sorted out, if my dating life or my marriage can get on track, if this blasted pandemic would just end already, then we could have some peace, right? Like, we tie that to our circumstances so often. And it's not that any of those are bad or wrong desires. We just need the peace. We need this kind of peace that goes deeper than just mere circumstances. Here's another one. For many of us, our search for peace is often tied to avoiding conflict. Anybody have these like awkward moments this last week or two at Thanksgiving where it's like the elephant in the room and like nobody wants to talk about it? Like, this is one of these pieces of like our more northern Minnesota culture, of like Minnesota nice, where there'll be difficult things that desperately need to be talked about, but we avoid them. And like, we try and keep the peace. But is that really what peace is all about? This morning I want to contrast those ideas with the biblical concept for peace. In the Bible, there's two primary words that are used for peace. In the Old Testament, there's the Hebrew word shalom, which is then echoed in the New Testament by the Greek word eirene. The folks at the Bible Project recently produced some wonderful resources on this topic. I want you to take a listen to their description. This will be up on the screen along with the graphic. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks, and it can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. The core idea is that life is complex. It's full of moving parts and relationships and situations. And when any of those is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it actually as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or to make whole. Peace takes a lot of work because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness. Whether that's in our lives, in our relationships, or in our world, That's the biblical concept of peace. So with that in mind, here's what I'm going to do. I want us to read a short section from Colossians chapter 1. And at first glance, this may not seem super Christmassy, but as we unpack this a little bit, we're actually going to see how this little hymn, this poem, the activity of the writing of the Apostle Paul, where he talks about all the things that Jesus has come to do that started with his birth. So Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him, was created for him. Verse 17, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Get your mind around that. He holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead, and so he is first in everything. Verse 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Man, again, what a powerful passage. One that we can lean into here at Christmas time. In Jesus, the invisible God has been made visible. The Creator has become the created. The pre-existent one that reigns supreme, that holds everything together, now exists in time and space as a humble baby. Colossians 1 proclaims that Jesus is our path to peace. The peace that we're searching for isn't found in a set of philosophies or a set of principles. It's found in a person. Jesus is our path to peace. There's two big items that stand out to me in that regard. The first one is this. Colossians 1 emphasizes how Jesus is fully God and fully human. And because of that, Jesus is uniquely able to enact true peace and reconciliation. Let's look more closely at verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says that God, in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. At Christmas time, we take time to reflect on this miracle of what we call the incarnation. The eternal God that created everything has invaded our temporal world in the person of Jesus. And we look back at the Christmas story where the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, you'll give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will have no end. It will never, ever end. And then after the birth of Jesus, the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. They said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I love how with the angelic proclamation, he's not saying that, you know, someday this Jesus will have the potential to be someone great. No, it's today. A Savior is born, Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. All of who God is was birthed in this little baby Jesus. That's one of the things that we want to get our mind around every year at Christmas. In verse 20, we read that through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. There's a couple common ways that we use that word reconciliation that impact or illustrate the impact of what God has done through Christ. So first of all, we talk about reconciliation as resolving a conflict between two parties, right? where two parties were once at odds with each other, and now that they have found a way to settle those differences, to settle that conflict. And ideally, there's no longer opposed to one another. They're moving forward together. And so through Christ, God has reconciled relationships between us and God and between us and others. Another spot that the word reconciliation often comes up is actually in accounting. Got any accountants out there? Okay, give you an example here. For example, to keep track of our family's finances, I use a handy little app on my phone called You Need a Budget. And any YNABbers out there? Okay, You Need a Budget, this little handy app. And so just the other day, I was working on our budget, and I pulled up my app, and what did I do? I reconciled my bank account with what was in my app and what the bank had on their end. This is so fun. When I hit the button that says reconcile, it says do a reconciliation dance, and it like spreads confetti on my phone. I mean, we all need a little more confetti in our lives, right? You know, all to just like have like the numbers at the bank match up, right? That's reconciliation. Like everything is the place that it's meant to be, right? Okay, so if we can have a silly app that spurts up confetti to celebrate that my money is in the right spot, how much more is it worth celebrating that the God of the universe has invaded time and space to reconcile us back to Him? That the debt of sin that we found ourselves in, that we could never get out of, that in Christ, God has taken care of that, not only getting us back to zero, but the Bible goes on to say that the riches that are in Christ have been credited to us. Holy cow! Like all of the goodness and the righteousness that is in Jesus, His perfection, His wonder, His amazement, all becomes ours through faith in Christ. That is what God has done in reconciling us to Himself. Verse 20 goes on to say that God has made peace. He's made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Think back to where we started this morning. Through Christ, God has brought shalom to us. He's taken what is broken and He's restoring it to wholeness. And that peace is not just in some isolated areas. God is bringing shalom to everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything in between. It is all encompassing. How was that all accomplished? Verse 20 says that it was by the means of Christ's death, by the means of Jesus' blood on the cross. Now, the story of Christmas is awe-inspiring for sure, but it is just the first scene of a bigger narrative. This narrative of God making all things whole again. The baby in the manger eventually grew to be a man that hung on a bloody cross. And through His death, Jesus made peace, brand new. He closed the great divide, and He made a way for us to be reconciled back to God. Here's a way to sum up what we talked about so far. Again, the baby born in the manger, the one who would eventually die on the cross, He was neither just Christ alone nor God alone, but it was God in Christ. God in Christ. He was both truly and fully God and man. And He was uniquely qualified to represent both God and mankind, humankind, on our behalf in bringing about redemption and restoration. Only as truly God and truly human could Jesus bring this gift of shalom to us. Okay, let's continue on by looking further at how practical our experience of peace can be. Through Christ, God has reconciled everything. He's made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. What does that include? How does that get worked out in our lives. There's a few things that the New Testament talks about over and over and over again. This book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, and over in his letters, he comes back to this theme of peace, eirene, as it's mentioned in the Greek, this idea that God is welcoming us into these ongoing experiences of peace. Here's the first one that we were just highlighting. Through Jesus, we can experience peace with God. Last weekend, Michael shared a bit from Romans chapter 5, which begins this way. He says that we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Romans 5:1. We can have real peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. Romans 5 details how our identity markers can all be turned on their heads. So previously, ungodly sinners can now become full of goodness and righteousness. Enemies of God are now welcomed into God's family and called his friends. And those who were once alienated from God have now been brought near, drawn near. We can have peace, real peace, substantive peace with God, because of what Jesus has done for us. As you let that sink in for a moment, I want you to encourage you and challenge you to not just put this in like the category of nice religious theory. Like, oh, that's something nice to think about when I'm at church and, you know, like, you know, when I'm thinking about religious things. No, friends, like this can be very real. This can be very real experiences in our lives. Imagine this. Imagine never questioning if you're loved. Imagine the strength that you can draw upon because you know in your knower that the God of the universe somehow is for you and not against you. Imagine embracing that whatever you've done wrong can really be forgiven. It can be wiped clean. It can be made new. Imagine the confidence that you can live with as you learn to run to God in the midst of your weakness and your brokenness, rather than hiding from him in shame. Again, this is immensely practical. Like, this can shift the real stuff of our day-to-day lives. You know, how many of us live under this weight of guilt and shame and, like, not measuring up and, like, wondering if God or others are, like, ever going to approve of us? Our experience of peace that we can have through Jesus is that we really can be at peace with God. New Testament also details that through Jesus, we can experience peace within ourselves. This passage from Philippians 4 is one that I return to over and over. Like, this is, like, if I think through, like, the playlist of how I read the Bible, like, this is one of those that I just come back to again and again and again. Would you read these verses aloud with me? This is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let's read this together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, real peace is something that we long for. What if the things that we read in Philippians 4 could become more practically true in our lives? You know, what if, like, this week, like, there's this pile of stress that just, like, comes over you like a tidal wave. What if you brought that to God in prayer rather than stewing in worry? You know, what if you learn to boldly ask God for what you need rather than only depending on your limited inner resources? You know, what if God's peace could become this guard, this barrier around your heart and mind, helping protect you from all the pressures and the brokenness of this world? You know, there is a subjective quality to this, but I know in my own life, I cannot deny the tangible experiences that I've had of God's peace and the difference that's made. Like, this is such an integral piece of my own story. I've been following Jesus for 35 years now, and I just look back over all these decades, these different seasons of my life, like, this is one of the constants. through the ups and the downs and everything in between, the real peace, the real presence of God meeting me in my very, very real life. Last week, my wife, Andrea, was sharing with our Wednesday night small group about how God met us with his supernatural peace in the aftermath of our daughter dying, Elizabeth dying. Grief was so heavy. This is 22 years ago now. But God's peace and presence weighed even more. It weighed even more than the deepest grief. And it sustained us through our darkest days. I was thinking again recently about receiving the diagnosis several years ago that I had a tumor that was going to require neurosurgery. And yet in the middle of that, like as I got that news from my doctor, as I went through the appointments, like experiencing like this supernatural peace, like, God, you're with me. And even like in the midst of whatever may happen, like it's all going to be okay, even if everything's not okay. Do you know what I mean by that? Okay. You know, add to that the roller coaster of raising kids into young adulthood, the rigors of pastoral ministry over the last couple decades, and taking like some really big risks away. Again, like I look back over these last few decades and over again, like this is my story, this is my song, right? As Fanny Crosby wrote, like God's peace and his presence is real. And it's met me, it's met us in all of these major intersections along the way. We've had so many great things happen in our over the years and countless times when we desperately needed an infusions of God's peace to get us through. We just found God to be so faithful, and that's my prayer today for you. Like maybe you are facing some things that feel beyond your control, you know, some pain that feels overwhelming, even in the midst of those difficult places. Could be loss. It could be disappointment. It could be like delay. Whatever that is, I pray that you would experience God pouring the supernatural peace into your hearts, that it would be a guard around your heart and your mind that really would help you. It really would bring comfort. It brings a strength that is real and transformative. Here's another promise that we have about peace being made new, that through Jesus, we can experience peace with others. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul spends quite a bit of time detailing how Jesus' work on the cross can bring people together that were previously at odds. Now, in that day, the big divide was between Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews. And so there was this ethnic way that the message of Jesus, this ethnic reality that like all of these people that were divided, that through Christ, somehow they become this brand new identity, this brand new family. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made us both one, and he has broken down the dividing wall of hostility." Again, Paul was talking about some specific things in his day, but this truth can apply to any kind of relationship. It sees that Jesus steps right into our divisions, and he makes reconciliation possible. And then amazingly, like this is so mind-blowing, he invites us to then become agents of that peace and that reconciliation everywhere we go. What does that look like? Two thoughts come to my mind. First is this. Remember how we talked about how shalom is more than just like merely avoiding conflict, more than just the absence of conflict, but that like shalom means like things being restored to wholeness, to completeness. Here's one of the things about reconciliation. At times, there's actually a real need for creative provocation. Sometimes to bring about peace, we actually have to deliberately create tension. There are instances where we actually have to upset the status quo. We have to shake it up and bring unhealthy items of dysfunctional relationships or systems. We actually have to like bring that up to the surface and say, we have to talk about this. And as challenging as this is for our northern Minnesota culture, sometimes being an agitator is actually the first step in achieving real peace. So in your life, like, is there a relationship? Is there a situation? Is there like a system that you are a part of where like this created provocation is actually the essential step that has to happen in order to be able to pursue true peace. I know for me, like, this has been an area of growth. I like everybody to be happy, right? You know, I just want everybody to be along. But like, following Jesus has actually pushed me into this spot where I'm getting more and more comfortable with actually creating tension, leaning into that, because true peace is more than just the absence of conflict. Here's a parallel thought. Right along with that, we also want to have a warmth about us as we seek to create peace between us and others. I share this illustration with you that we can become like these conduits of God's peace. During COVID, you know, so many people did like little projects around their house. Like, so we did some of that. One of the things that that we did as part of our little projects was we found some remnant countertops that we had cut to be sized to go on top of our radiators. Okay, so like they sit on top of our radiators, and man, like our cats love this. Like it's starting to get cold now. That heat turns on and like they just lay there all day long, okay? So think about this. Those countertops, by themselves, they're just like cold, hard stone. Nothing in them that has any warmth about them at all. But when placed properly, they radiate this like wonderful warmth that brings comfort. I think that's a lot like us. Like in and of ourselves, like we got nothing. You know, we can't generate, we can't manufacture any kind of like true peace, like this warmth of shalom, like it's not gonna happen. But when we're placed right, when we're aligned correctly, when we're receiving this supernatural peace of God in our lives, He actually invites us to become like these radiators of peace. We radiate that supernatural peace of God. You ever been around somebody that like, this is just like, they know that this is true about them? Like there's just something about them. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to do anything. Like almost like by looking at them, being around them, you're like, wow. Like there's just like a whole lot of peace there. Friends, that's what can happen when God fills our hearts with His supernatural peace. It's not just for us. It can infuse its way into every single one of our relationships, and it can make a real difference. Okay, so this is one of the reasons why, like, our personal time with Jesus can be so powerful. You know, as you spend, like, maybe this week, as you spend moments on your own with the Lord, it's like setting your spiritual thermostat. It's like warming up to the day. You know, just receiving some of that warmth that you can carry with you wherever you go with whomever that you are with. Okay, one last item. We can experience peace with God. We can experience peace within ourselves. We can experience peace with others. We can also, through Jesus, we can experience peace because through Him, everything in creation will be set right eventually. We live in this tension, right? Like this is where the story is gonna go. With so much brokenness in our world, right now it's easy to grow weary. But we remember how the story is going to end, we can be renewed in our experience of peace right now. Look again at a few of the things that Michael kicked off our Advent series with this passage from Revelation 21. The Apostle John writes, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God's making it brand new. Verse 3, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. That's God's presence right there. What does God's presence do? He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning, or crying, or pain. Jesus says, I'm making everything new. Friends, this is the end of the story. This is where it all comes to a head. We're not there all yet. But this hope This reality, we can anchor ourselves to this and it can make a real difference in our lives. I think it's interesting, even historically, this time of Advent, this celebration of Advent is not only a time when we look back at the birth of Jesus, it's a time to look forward and anticipate Jesus' second coming as we wade in between what he did on the cross and in his resurrection and this future day when all things really will be set right forever. Again, right now, there's so much pain around us. We ache and we groan because things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. Just think back to the news headlines of this week. As Hector was mentioned, head of worship, we had a friend that passed away yesterday. There's so much that still needs to be made whole in this world. And yet there's this expectant hope that we can grasp onto. This season of waiting isn't meant to be just this time to hunker down and hang on for dear life until Jesus comes back. No, we can actually pray for these future realities to become more present in our lives, in our world, in our situations right now. And so we pray. Pray that Jesus told us to pray. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. The way things are going to be someday, God, let that leak in. Let that break into our real experiences right now. God, I believe that everything's going to be new someday. Could that be more of our experience right here, right now, today? Friends, I love how we don't have to choose between the ache and the groaning and the hope and expectancy. Like we can live in both of those at the very same time. Because that's the experience of our life. God is faithful to break through in so many ways. And there's still so much brokenness. And so we come and we ask for God's peace to fill us. We ask for God to break through. He meets us in those very real elements of our lives. And he is our God. And we can be his people. I want to throw this graphic of shalom back up there. And as we close here, I want to just have you think for a moment. Where do you need this completeness, this wholeness in your life, around your life? Where do you long for? Where do you ache for that to become more of a reality in the world around us? Now again, God's promise is to make complete, to make whole, to reconcile everything through what Christ has done. Any item that's missing, it's out of alignment, this is a place where we can ask God to pour in his supernatural peace. It's real. It can make a difference. We can look to him, and he's faithful to provide it. Let's go ahead and do that right now. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? And I want to just give us a bit of direction as we close up our service and respond in a couple ways. You know, as I was just highlighting, in these last few minutes, this is something that we just believe so strongly here at the Vineyard. Like, we can lean in and we can be honest about the pain, the heartache, the waiting, the groaning, the real experiences of life. And we can ask God to come and do things like supernaturally, miraculously even, to like shift stuff and to change things. And so for you, like this morning, like you may hold both of those in tension all at the same time. Like whatever it might be that you are carrying in today, like you can come honestly before the Lord and just say, God, would you be real to me in all the ways that I need? So we're going to engage in some prayer, but we're also going to engage in some worship. The team's going to be leading us here, and I want to throw this other the scripture here from Colossians 1:18. Love this just one line. You know, as the Apostle Paul is talking about how Jesus was there at the beginning, he's there at the end, he's like, you know, he's everything, right? Like that word everything comes up like five or six times. I love how he says this, that Jesus is first. He's first in everything. And friends, I think that that's something that we can really align ourselves to. That's true about all creation, about the new creation, about God making everything brand new. Could that be true about your life and mine? Or you say, Jesus, I want you to be first. I want you to be first in my marriage. I want you to be first in my pursuit of school, in my career. I want you to be first, God, in how I'm going about my work. God, how about my friendships and all my family relationships? Jesus, would you be first in all the different areas of my life? As we align ourselves with that, that's where so much of his supernatural peace then can come in. If you're joining us online as well, I just encourage you. Let's engage with God and let's pray together. God, we thank you. Thank you for this morning to come. God, thank you for these ways that we can recall what you've done and what you will do. And Lord, that can fill us with supernatural hope and supernatural peace. Lord, I just pray that for all the folks, God, here in person, everybody that's tuning in online, Lord, that wouldn't just be an idea, but Lord, it could be a practical reality in our lives. Come, Lord. Come, God. Lord, we want to align ourselves to you. We want to be in the right spot so we can receive and we can give this supernatural peace that you make available to us. Come, Lord. If you're on our ministry team, why don't you begin to make your way up here? Friends, this isn't like super fancy. Like whatever it is that's going on in life where you just need more of God. Like this is a spot where you can engage with him. You can ask him for what you need. You can thank him for what he's done. You can experience his supernatural peace in your life. Any spot where there's something that's out of alignment, that where there's a missing piece, God has promised to bring that back into wholeness through Christ. As we align ourselves with him, we can experience more of that. So we'll pray for one another. And as Hector and Holly lead us here, we're also going to worship. We're going to say, Jesus, we're going to give our voices to proclaiming who you are and believing that we can receive awesome things through that. So I encourage you, don't rush out. Take some time. Soak in what God has for you today. Let's pray for one another. Let's worship. Thanks for being here this morning at the Vineyard.